This is the PropTech VC Podcast. We give you unique insights into how innovative technologies are disrupting real estate. We interview top entrepreneurs, investors, and knowledgeable experts to share the inside scoop in this fast-moving industry. It's hosted by leading PropTech VC, Zane Jaffer. Let's dive into today's content.
And Jeff, tell us a bit about what's going on the macro level right now. Before we talk about what Jupe does, COVID has made people rethink where they live, where they work. They can now work remotely. The jury's out on whether this remote work trend is here to stay or not. But the fact is, people are moving. People are leaving coastal cities, moving inwards, and people are rethinking. And COVID, for some people, I mean, unfortunately, COVID is so widespread globally now that many of us have close friends, close family, or distant relatives and friends who have been victims of COVID and haven't made it. It made us realize life is all but too short. And you know, the world is a wonderful place. There's a lot of great things to see. Time to move around, time to go visit places. One trend amidst COVID has been a surge in glamping, a surge in camping, a surge in nature retreats. What are you seeing? Because this is the very heart of the industry that you're disrupting.
Yeah, I mean, I only know these numbers because I was looking at them today. Actually, I was working on my investor one pager, and so I'll bring it right up to get the exact numbers. But they were numbers out of an Airbnb report on how hospitality was going rural. Oh, great. Adobe wants a password to open a PDF. Have we gotten there, people? Have we gotten there? Really?
So Airbnb is talking about going so, rural, hospitality yeah, going rural.
I won't get the exact numbers because I can't get the damn PDF open, but it was something like 130% year-on-year growth for rural Airbnbs, right? And that was only partway through COVID. So people want to, you know, even they quoted in that report somewhere, be away from other humans in the noise they create, right? So, you know, you may have seen HipCamp just recently raised a $50 or $60 million, I think, Series C. HipCamp, the Airbnb of the outdoors. You know, we're targeting that space specifically, activating land outside the cities and adding inventory to allow glamping and camping operators to generate more revenue. It's a trend like working from home that's not going away, right? I mean, all the indicators now point to, and some of the just statements by companies that, like, we're not going back to people going into the office at the same rate. You know, if we all had a vaccine today, that's still not going to happen.
We're also seeing, you know, maybe up to 40% of companies are thinking of downsizing. So that will have an impact on where people live and where they decide to play and work at the same time. So when we tell us a bit about Jupe.
Yeah, so Jupe came out of this obsession with affordability and trying to find the right entry point. So that's where it all started. I messed around in a couple of different areas and then found what I believe is the tip of the spear into ultimately solving housing for 100 million people. That's our long goal. And I mean, I keep it right here by my desk, so I sort of stay focused on that long goal. Well, trying to solve a very large problem like that, as we've talked about, by going directly at it just doesn't work and hasn't worked. If I set out initially to make a housing unit under $7,500 off grid, I'd run out of money, I'd run out of time, and I'd get nothing built. as most people have, including IKEA. There are 10,000 shelved IKEA shelters somewhere over in Northern Europe that'll never be used for refugees.
Why? Why? So look, is there something wrong with the product?
In that particular case, they had plenty of resources. They had some smart people, but plenty of contacts and lobbyists, but they didn't have folks with a background that had slowly built into that area. And they ended up, frankly, making a shelter that wasn't safe. It was too far outside of their space. There are countless reasons why others have failed there, but, you know, in our approach, we've said, hey, there's all this land across the United States, and most operators of hotels, glamping, or camping sites are in areas that have a high season, right? And they usually have some extra space. So we said, hey, these folks may be interested in a very high design, off-grid, so they don't have to add any utilities, space that was easy to move in and out, and really affordable relative to what you would normally get in terms of an Airstream or a tiny home, which is kind of the closest thing to a Jeep. And so we then said, all right, we're not going to do it the way everybody else has done it. We're going to build a chassis, a flat packable chassis that can be loaded up with all the creature comforts that you'd normally have in a home. Air conditioning, plumbing, toilets, right? The actual walls, the lighting, all of that stuff is designed to flat pack down into the Jeep. So by having a rapidly transportable thing that can slide into areas that often demand way outstrip supply, we've got something really unique. We have a chess piece and business model that hasn't existed and is highly scalable. So, I think we're going at something in a really cool way. And that underlying technology in the chassis will one day, you know, be applied to these people, right? Those people, so to speak. Not so to speak. So, yeah, that's our, you know, we're motivated by the big mission. We're doing this in a pandemic. We're building hardware, but we're building what, in my opinion, is the most scalable housing hardware product ever built.
You've obviously had to put a lot of thought into designing and manufacturing this.
So, yeah, what we're solving for here, the ability to build a living structure in under 5 hours is pretty unheard of. Most of the modular builders, it will take them days, weeks, sometimes months. Even the 3D printing companies that can, you know, print a home in 24 hours, they're actually just printing walls usually, right? So there still needs to be a foundation. There still needs to be all the mechanical, electrical, and plumbing. There still needs to be a roof, windows, all of those things. When the Jeep is dropped off within an hour, it's set up and ready to stay in. So right now we have electrical. You saw us working on the plumbing that will be off grid. And we are also working on HVAC right now. We're prototyping that. So eventually in a hardtop Jeep that'll be flat packed on a truck, probably 18 of them, you'll be able to drop this anywhere on the planet and have a comfortable stay, even internet eventually. So we're pretty excited about what we're building and kind of how it fits into the larger world.
Awesome. Jeff, do you have any questions you want to ask me either as a real estate investor, a tech entrepreneur, or a VC?
Yeah, I guess it's about atoms, right? And anyone raising money in the hardware space has heard this, you know, it's probably 80% of your rejections are just around like too heavy of a lift. We don't, you know, we we're done investing in hardware startups. And so I guess my question is, how do we overcome that? Because like so much of the industry and the problem is in putting the atoms together, moving them around, and putting them into the system. And a very big problem is just getting the right kind of money to innovate in that space. Like, look at Katerra. They've raised at least $1 billion and really haven't made the dent that anyone expected that they would. So how do we solve for this? How do we innovate? Where is the capital stack going to come from to move the needle where it needs to be moved? Software is not going to eat this world.
You know, we can have a debate about this. Hardware is hard. And you've got, I think you used the right word, capital stack. If you're looking at VC, you've got to appreciate VC looks for high margin, highly scalable businesses. Software has such a low marginal cost to serve, such a high marginal, you know, gross profit margin for every extra user you serve. It's just magic almost. So software is something that VCs like a lot at the early stage too. What I'm seeing is a valuation arbitrage where public companies are trading at insane revenue multiples. Your private, smaller software startups are actually trading at very reasonable valuations, very reasonable multiples. There's a lot of money to make investing in early stage software startups. What I see when it comes to capital stack is that often you'll get a software-based company and a hardware-based company head-to-head, and you've got to decide which company do I want to invest in. It is a zero-sum game when you're a VC, Jeff, because you only have so many dollars to deploy, and you can't invest everywhere, and you're investing for a specific type of return. So when you're like me and you're faced with startups that are hardware and you've got startups that are software, and you've got hardware startups that are faking it and pretending to be software, okay? And then there's IoT, which is in between. The safer bet and the easiest bet and the most well-known bet is to bet on software. Now, I want to explain a bit about the intricacies of hardware. Hardware is very hard. I find, and Jeff, you're one of the few people I'd say this about, you've got to be crazy. You've got to be a little bit insane and wacky up there to succeed if you're running a hardware company. Look at Tesla. Look at Apple. Some of the most world-changing companies were built by entrepreneurs who are quite crazy. It's the same with what I see in the hardware world. The startup entrepreneurs that will make it in hardware are just a little bit wacky. They've got that resilience. They've got the ability to just somehow move mountains. And that's a trait that is needed as a VC when you invest in hardware. You've got to look for someone more wacky than ever. Now, when it comes to hardware, just to make you appreciate why it's difficult to invest in hardware, due diligence is very difficult. When you're doing due diligence on software, you've got a dimension to analyze and investigate. You add hardware, there's a whole other layer. Hardware has an entire supply chain that you have to appreciate. If you're a VC, at a bigger VC, you can be quite lazy. B, most of the time, the person doing the due diligence might just be an overworked partner who doesn't have much time and needs to show something to the investment committee, or analyst at the firm. And you're expecting someone to go dive in and understand the supply chain and do reference calls with people in the hardware world. It's a world VCs don't play in generally. There might be some, you know, hardware-focused VCs, but 95% of the VCs out there don't even want to touch hardware.
And so, I appreciate that. And it wasn't a question of, like, I'm a frustrated founder that can't get VCs to, you know, bite on hardware startups, right? I get it. The larger question was, like, how do we create, like, how does one find the right capital stack to innovate in an area that has zero innovation that happens to be the largest market in the world, right? like
where hardware is involved because you're dealing with the built environment. So I'm getting there, Jeff. I firstly just wanted to sort of break down the capital stack and sort of help sort of give some insight into why VCs don't play in hardware, but where the money can come from for hardware. So there's a new type of hardware that's emerging, and IoT certainly is part of that new type. Tesla and Apple, I would say, invented this model where you can push updates in the cloud and you can build a software model on top of hardware. When someone thinks of hardware, Jeff, people sometimes think of a big factory in China and a bunch of, you know, copycats emerging all around the world and they're being a race to the bottom. I mean, I haven't even finished talking about why hardware is hard, and I want to quickly cover that, okay, before we talk about IoT. If you break down hardware, you need to appreciate too that there might be a cost to produce the hardware, and you might have an MSRP that you want to sell the hardware at. What people don't appreciate is that, and Jeff, you guys have disrupted this completely, and so has another one of my companies, Boxable, that I'm invested in. The cost to distribute and install, especially when you're dealing with something like, you know, modular, is extremely expensive and prohibitive, and investors don't appreciate sometimes, okay, this cost, you know, $30 out of 100 to develop, and it's $100 sales price, 70% margin, but wait a second, a lot of that margin gets crushed when you account for transport and installation. In some cases, you want to use distributors to get your hardware out there. So that's something that can really hurt investors who don't appreciate it. The other thing I'd say too is IP protection really matters. Often large companies will frivolously initiate lawsuits, and hardware is an area that tends to get litigated quite aggressively over because it's the domain of old boring anti-innovation scared companies. I'm sure you're eager to talk about what you're doing when it comes to transportation installation, but just to finish off the question, I think IoT holds a lot of promise too, because with IoT, I'm seeing innovations happening, and you know, the ability to push updates on through the cloud is something Tesla did a really great job with, and also Apple. And I'm seeing this as one area that, you know, people can buy into. Now, the VCs might not be into hardware as much, but I think as part of a general portfolio construction, angel investors, family offices, and even the crowd who can find projects on places like Kickstarter or WeFunder, I think not everything has to offer a venture-style return. You know, VCs look for that. Sometimes it's okay to invest in a business in the same way that a McDonald's props up, in the same way that someone invests in a media company. There are great returns to be had investing in hardware. I would say there's an arbitrage there too. If you can invest in a hardware startup that has some software to it, it can have explosive potential when it grows.
Yeah, and I mean, I didn't discuss that at all, but we have routers, Alexas, and we're writing a software platform for basically UX within the Jupes. So I didn't talk about that. And there are other things I'll call you about later.
I think those are the key components if a hardware startup is to be investable. And by the way, just so the viewers know, you know, I've invested in 6 hardware startups just in 2020 alone. So I do it from time to time, but I'm obviously prioritizing software on the VC side because it's been, the opportunities are just incredible too on that side. But look, you're right. We're dealing with the built environment. The built environment means we live in these walls. We want the experience inside of our walls to be a pleasant experience. And this is where software can really make a difference. We stare at screens way too much. Our children grow up addicted and glued to computer screens and TV, and now more than ever with remote learning in place.
Yeah.
It'd be great if technology can mesh into the built environment, into our homes, into our lives, our offices, and you know, even our Jupes, where people hopefully will, you know, do their vacations. Technology can be there seamlessly and allow you to sort of be more healthy. Technology is very unhealthy today.
Yeah.
And your company is about, you know, the way I articulate it is people want to breathe. People want to get back to reality and appreciate what life is like outside of, you know, Zoom fatigue. going in the middle of nature and having a place to go, which is what your company offers, is something the world really needs. And mm-hmm. if technology can be there with you without being intrusive, I think that's part of the societal impact needed.
Yeah, for real. Mic drop.
Well, I guess that's a great note to end things on. Jeff, thank you so much for coming on the show. And if anyone wants to reach out to Jeff, it's j@jupe.com. j@jupe.com. And obviously www.jupe.com.
That's right. And I am Prof Dumpster on Instagram. And you can DM me there or Jupe Inc. On Instagram as well.
And our videos, whilst on YouTube, you can also get them through proptechvc.com. Thank you so much.
Thank you.